I'm Janet Machen with Machen & Sons Farms in Lampasas, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
Texas Panhandle ranchers are evaluating losses from the wildfires. We'll have more on that coming up to kick off today's show.
As livestock producers in the Texas Panhandle try to keep going in the midst of massive wildfire losses, Texas A&M AgriLife is coordinating a major supply effort. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
A U.S. senator says a new farm bill and action by the administration could help ease farmers' concerns. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Texas ranchers are evaluating their losses following the Texas Panhandle wildfires. Hemp Hill County Agent Andy Holloway.
The loss is devastating and very substantial. I just came off of Marshall Drive about 15 or 20 miles east of town. There's rows of dead cattle, and it's hard for me to say yet specific numbers, but I do know that in my communications with some of the ranchers that the death loss is significant.
And with cattle prices at an all-time high, the economic losses will be staggering.
The value of these cattle is record highs. And so when just a 500-pound calf dies right now, that's over a $1,500 loss for that one calf. And that doesn't count his mother. And that's the thing. The insurance is a help. But my goodness, with the situation we're in as it regards the market, it's not near enough money to replace what they've lost.
Relief efforts are underway all over the region. And Holloway says hay and cubes are needed to feed the cattle that survived.
We've still got ranchers looking for cows and trying to feed cows, and we're sending hay directly to the ranchers instead of unloading it at our supply point. We've got a lot of hay coming in. We still need cattle cubes, so if someone wants to bring cattle cubes in sacks, like 20% protein or higher, they can bring it to the exhibition center here. We'd appreciate that.
If you are a rancher who has suffered losses, Holloway says there are two important meetings being held to help you. One is today, Tuesday the 5th, in Canadian, with the other being held tomorrow in Borger. If you need more information on these meetings, call Andy at the Hemp Hill County AgriLife Extension Office. If you'd like to donate to help ranchers affected by the wildfires, the Texas Farm Bureau has launched the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund, according to Farm Bureau President Russell Boehning.
And simply go to our website, which is texasfarmbureau.org. There'll be a link, and anyone can donate, individuals, companies, corporations. We take all of those dollars and use none of them for administration, but we try to get all those dollars to farmers and ranchers that have suffered ag-related losses that normally are uninsurable or non-insurable.
Again, you can donate at texasfarmbureau.org. Just click on the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund link at the top of the page. Many other relief efforts are also underway. Texas A&M AgriLife is organizing a major supply effort to help burned-out ranchers. James Hunt has more on that from the Panhandle.
Facing one of the worst disasters the Texas Panhandle has ever seen, many government agencies, charities, and volunteers are helping victims of the massive wildfires. For livestock producers, one entity that is very involved is Texas A&M AgriLife. Danny Nusser, the regional program leader for AgriLife, describes the livestock supply points AgriLife has installed.
They're being managed by our county agents in those counties, and so they're in charge of kind of getting the volunteers, coordinating everything, and obviously there's a lot of people involved with that. You know, there's volunteers, there's businesses that are helping use their land or their places to stack hay and do things. They're volunteering with tractors and things to unload trucks and load trucks. And so there's a lot of people involved. But those agents work with their emergency management coordinators prior to a disaster in developing an animal issues plan for that county.
The livestock supply points can help with things such as hay, feed, and fence supplies.
If you've been impacted, don't be afraid. Get in there and get what you need. Or call somebody at that livestock supply point, say, I need this, and we'll round up somebody to help you get those supplies. So, you know, last time I remember when we did this, a lot of those guys were going, well, my neighbor needs it more than I do. And so they weren't coming to the livestock supply points. And so we really encourage them to come in, get what you need, and make sure we get your needs taken care of. We're going to take care of your neighbors as well.
To find out where the supply points are located and get other information about assistance for producers, contact AgriLife or search online with the words AgriLife Panhandle Wildfire Relief Resources. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
A U.S. senator says a new farm bill and action by the administration could help ease farmers' concerns. Jessica Domel has the story.
On our last show, we heard from Senator Debbie Stabenow, chairwoman of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, on the need for a new farm bill. That sentiment was shared by committee ranking member John Bozeman, who said farmers and ranchers are very concerned right now.
As part of our efforts to write a new farm bill, we've been to numerous states across the country, and I visited with hundreds of farmers, as has the chair. What I've heard from our nation's farmers and ranchers is that they're very concerned. Specifically, they're challenged by persistently high and historic inflation, both on and off the farm, stubbornly high interest rates, burdensome regulations, record large trade deficits in agriculture, and most importantly of all, rapidly declining commodity prices and farm incomes that will make these next 5 years some of the most challenging in their lives.
The senator said a farm bill safety net is needed to ensure the viability of American agriculture.
But if we truly care about rural communities and our farm and ranch families, farming at all scales must be economically viable, and we must provide a safety net that works. That is what I've called for in the next farm bill, and I believe that is the very least that we can do for our farmers.
Senator Bozeman added that the administration could do more to ease farmers' concerns as well.
Its regulatory agenda has made crop protection tools less available and added more uncertainty for our farmers. I'm troubled like things like ERP 2, 30 by 30, and the lack of leadership when it comes to trade. All of these decisions tell me that our farmers' concerns are not being heard at the executive branch. I do believe in the next farm bill, a $1.5 trillion farm bill, we have the opportunity to make things right for farmers, rural communities, and those in need. But it takes a commitment for all of us to work together towards these very worthy goals. No one in the history of this committee has said that passing a farm bill is an easy lift, but it's something that this committee, with the help of previous administrations, has come together to accomplish time and time again. I did not believe that this farm bill should be any different.
That was Senator John Bozeman. The current farm bill extension expires at the end of September. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Corn planters are rolling in Central Texas. I'm Gary Joyner, and I'll have an update from a Texas Blacklands farmer coming up on Texas Ag Today.
And a ridden horse checklist can determine if your horse is lame or in pain. We'll have more on that from Dr. Bob Judd coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres in rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildlife Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
We're bringing you the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
Planters are rolling in Central Texas. Gary Joyner checks in with a Texas Blacklands farmer for an update.
I'm in Waco, and I'm pleased to be joined by Williamson County farmer Bob Avant. Bob, it's planting season in Central Texas. How are things shaping up in your county there?
Well, I never like to complain about rain, and we had some wonderful rains earlier in January, but in some cases we probably had a little bit too much. It gave us some wet spots that delayed our planting dates a lot, because some of our farmers in Williamson County want to be rolling that first week in February, and last year it made a big difference in yield. And so we were delayed, and now we're right in the big middle of planting. I think we'll have another couple of weeks of dry weather where we can get through planting corn in Williamson County. But we were delayed a little bit. We're probably delayed 2 weeks in where we'd like to have been in getting corn in the ground.
What did you learn from last year's experience and how all that worked out?
There were two different sets of plant development scenarios. One is farmers that got in fairly early in February. The crop got started, then it dried off, and it just sat there, but it was developing a good root system. And then we got some really good rains in April and May, and that corn just took off. That later planted corn didn't develop that root system because it didn't see that early stress. In some cases, it made 50 bushel per acre difference in yield. Just amazing what 2 weeks can do for you.
Are you seeing any shifts in allocation of different crops or planting acreage to other crops that maybe weren't there a year ago?
We're basically corn heavy, but there's still a little bit of cotton, a little bit of milo. We did see a little bit of a spike in wheat production this year, but corn is still going to be the big crop in Williamson County.
We hear about new varieties being introduced, more drought resistance, insect resistance. Are some of those varieties appealing to Central Texas growers?
Well, I think the genetics packages we've seen over the last 20 years have made a big difference on how we farm and the survivability of how we farm, because of the newer varieties are more drought tolerant. They have good insect packages in them, like corn rootworm and other things that help out. And some of the management techniques that can be used for aflatoxin also makes a big difference, even from things we were looking at 10 years ago.
We hear the word sustainability. Farmers like you have been practicing climate smart practices for years, but the public sometimes doesn't know. Sustainability is part of your business model.
Without sustainability, we're not in business. You have to watch the weather. You have to manage around the weather. You know, whether we've got climate variation or climate change or whatever you want to call it, something's going on. It seems like it's hotter, it's drier, longer in the summertime it used to be. So we have to adapt to it. I think that's why a lot of us are trying to plant a little earlier, to try to beat that scenario. Every year can be different, but hopefully we can still manage around it.
Are cover crops an option? Reduced tillage? Are you seeing some of those practices?
I'm seeing cover crops, but in heavy blackland like we have in Williamson County, I don't think they work nearly as well as if you were in a sandier soil or a loamier soil and in areas where you have more rainfall. Because I see some farmers use it, but I don't see a lot transitioning in it. And some of them that have tried it, I don't think are completely sold on it yet for the blacklands. Now, if you're in other areas of the state have a little bit different soils and different moisture regimes, then maybe so.
Well, good luck this planting season.
Thank you.
That's Bob Avant, a Williamson County grower just outside of the Austin area. I'm Gary Joyner for Texas Ag Today.
A ridden horse checklist can help determine if your horse is lame or in pain. Dr. Bob Judd explains what a ridden horse checklist is.
The ridden horse checklist is also called a ridden horse pain ethogram, or RHPE for short. There is evidence in Europe that at least 50% of the sport horses considered by their owners to be sound may actually have some degree of lameness, as it is difficult to recognize. Horses are stoic, and as prey animals, have adapted to mass pain when moving. They reduce the range of motion of their backs, reduce height of their foot arc, and use a shorter stride. Some horses may not be doing a certain job well, and the trainer or horse is blamed when the horse could be hurting. And this is why the ridden horse checklist was developed. Dr. Sue Dyson indicates in Equine Disease Quarterly that this ethogram consists of a series of 24 behaviors that were developed when observing lame and non-lame horses. These behaviors were identified at least 10 times more in lame horses than sound horses, and the behaviors were combined to form the pain ethogram. If 8 or more of the 24 signs are noted in a particular horse, the horse is likely in pain. The ridden horse checklist was tested by using it on lame horses and then abolishing their lameness with nerve blocks, and the pain scores were reduced. And this ridden horse checklist can be used by anyone and not just trainers, as the behaviors are easy to see by a layman, such as ears pinned back for 5 seconds or repeated tail switching. A study involved using the ridden horse checklist on 40 horses with a professional rider and the normal rider, and scores on the checklist were similar. The checklist is a great monitoring tool and has been used prior to 3-day events to determine the health of the horse to participate in the event. The ridden horse checklist, or ethogram, is available online at multiple websites.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how all of our agricultural markets wrapped up on Tuesday. We'll kick things off with a look at cattle futures. Cattle traded on both sides of unchanged throughout the trading day. However, on the close, we wrapped it up higher on both live and feeder cattle. April live cattle up $1.32, 188 even. June up 95 cents, 183.52. The August up 85, 182.77. March feeder cattle up 75 cents, 252.30. April feeders up $1.42, 257.17. With May up 92 cents, 258.70. Cash fed cattle trade still quiet for the week. No bids or asking prices to report. Boxed beef prices were mixed Tuesday. Choice down $1.14, 305.16. Select up 28 cents, 295.45. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Riley Rhodes is my guest today. Riley Rhodes, Live Oak Livestock, Three Rivers, sells them every Monday. Riley, how was that sale?
Went good again, Larry. Market's still very active. They put a little bit more money on cows, rail cows, and calf market was pretty much steady. Maybe some of the bigger cattle might have been a touch higher than what they were last week. Handful of pairs brought from $1,250 up to $2,200. Some bred cows from $1,150 to $1,950. High yielding packer cows $126 to $136. Your breakers $108 to $124, and your canners $88 to $106. High yielding packer bulls $134 to $140. Low to medium yielding bulls $116 to $134. 2-3 weight choice steers $330. 396, heifer mates 320 to 358, 3-4 weight choice steers 342 to 390, heifer mates 316 to 354, 4-5 weight choice steers 308 to 358, heifer mates 258 to 322, 5-6 weight choice steers 276 to 320, heifer mates 230 to 268, 6 to 7 weight choice steers, 242 to 284. Heifer mates, 224 to 246. And the 7 to 8 weight cattle, your choice steers, 220 to 248. And the heifer mates, 214 to 236. Ended up with 1,550 head today and on a good active market.
Good. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you for next week.
361-813-6650 is the cell. 361-786-2553 is the office. LiveOakLivestock.com is the web.
We appreciate it, Riley. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Bye-bye. I'm Larry Marble, and I'm with you every Monday through Friday right here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network for the program Walking the Pens. We hope you have a grand day.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. Lean hogs finished lower. April hogs dropped $1.10, 85.17. May down 40 cents, 91.57. Class 3 milk was lower. March milk down 16 cents, 16.54 a hundredweight. April milk down 28 at 16.30 a hundred. Cotton market closed lower across the board. Traders waiting on a couple of reports this week. Of course, we got the Thursday weekly export sales report. Hoping it looks a bit better than last week's, where we only saw 40,000 bales sold, no sales reported last week to China. Also Friday, USDA WASDE report coming out. May cotton dropped 34 points, 94.24. July down 30, 93.07, with new crop December down 7, 83.19. Corn and wheat, both closing lower, with March corn down 4 cents, 4.13.5. September corn down 4, 4.46 and a quarter. Hard and soft wheat, both losing ground. May Kansas City wheat down 11, 5.69 and a quarter. New crop July down 9 and a quarter, 5.57 and three quarters. Soft wheat in Chicago, May contract down 13 cents, 5.51 a bushel. New crop July off 11 and a half, 5.55 and three quarters. In the energy markets, April natural gas was up 4 cents, $1.95. April West Texas crude down 51, 78.23 a barrel. The financial markets were lower on Tuesday afternoon. The Dow dropped 388 points, 38,601. The NASDAQ down 266, 15,940. The S&P down 50 at 5,080. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.